lucky to introduce him. DK, if you don't know him, he is currently working at BizDojo, the largest co-working space in Wellington, where he leads Collider, a new activation program focused on transforming Wellington City to be the smart capital that it was always meant to be. DK is also the license holder for TEDx in Wellington, which was recently featured on TED.com for its innovative approach. This year, they did a mystery TEDx where you didn't actually know where it was going to be. You had to buy a ticket, which sold out in 2 minutes, and get on a bus and trust in the TEDx program that would deliver a place and content as it did. It was one of the most successful things I've seen in the social media space, at least. He has experience in working for all sorts of great organizations, including the BBC, the Gates Foundation, Hasbro, UNICEF, just to name a few. Now, DK and I were in Wellington a few weeks ago, and we went out for dinner, as we do, and we catch up, yada, yada, and I was like, hey, DK, you're giving this thing at the project. What are you going to be talking about? He's like, oh, this and that. I'm like, what are you doing that's new? He's like, well, I'm not sure. And we were just chatting. And then 2 days ago, he called me up. He's like, hey, Michelle, you know when you asked me what was new? I said, yes. He said, I'm going to do it naked. I was like, cool. That's pretty new. I know. That was my face. That was the lady there. I was like, oh. So what he meant is without slides, but in my head, and in your head if you wish, this is DK Naked. DK.
Thank you. Jochen Wouter. This is really hard, not speaking. It feels so vulnerable being up here. And for me, that's the ultimate act of creativity, is moving yourself into a space where you feel highly vulnerable. And I want to share with you three stories, personal stories, which kind of illustrate that point. You see, I'm relearning a little bit. Upon reflection, this it feels like home to me. I really enjoy speaking, public speaking, but I don't like not speaking when you're all looking at me. So that was really hard for me to do, but that's vulnerable, right? And I want to illustrate that through a couple of points and a couple of stories. The first one being, in 2006, I started my second company. It was my second company because my first one bombed. I ended up having to move back in with my folks. And you kind of, a couple of people might have been there, you know, that kind of dire space where you're kind of, what do I do when I grow up attitude. But I started a blog that focused on how young people consume and create new media. I can still remember the tagline. It was new media back then because it wasn't social. Remember, this was 2006. And it was a kind of cool, hip blog, just focusing, curating content. I knew that because previously I'd been blogging since 2002 and having a lot of fun online, being a bit of a geek. In 5 years, I was employing 7 people. We turned over 6 figures. I visited 5 continents on other people's dime. I was speaking at conferences. I was working with like the Gates Foundation on their social strategies, helping journalists in the BBC reconfigure their thoughts about journalism in the future, and training kids in Africa to be digital journalists and so on and so forth. Just having a lot of fun, to be honest. And one of the reasons I think we really accelerated in a space was my hunger and curiosity to learn, and my vulnerability in that space to go, I don't know, but I want to find out. That exemplified through my podcast series. I started a podcast in 2006. When I finished it 5 years later, I'd done over 200 interviews with people all over the globe, just over Skype, using something called audio.com, which was hosting. You'd know it as SoundCloud nowadays. You know, it's all morphed in different platforms doing the same things. I'd interview people like Sir Ken Robinson. You might know him from TED, you know, did that great talk, Creativity in Schools. I did that before he did TED. It was quite fun. I did a Lord. I also did Sir Jimmy Wales. He's not a Sir, but I call him that because he's the founder of Wikipedia and the head of McDonald's Global Marketing and Kodak and Sega and people like that. And you just find these people on the web. Now, what happens when you interview people is you stand next to them in theory and you learn from them because you're asking them the questions you want to know. The information you gain from that accelerates your own knowledge. But it's really hard to be a learner in public. But you have to be. You really have to learn out loud, I think, in today's society. But the beautiful thing is you can do it wonderfully through blogs and interviewing like podcasts, or even now with phones in your pockets, you can do a great podcast with me after, if you want to, and the other speakers. My second story vignette is actually, Michelle just mentioned it. TEDx Wellington this year did something a bit audacious, a bit silly, and we're not doing it again, because it was so complex, it was stupid. Our theme was trust. And we thought, we can't just say trust us, we want to exemplify it. So we didn't announce any other speakers this year, which is strange when you're doing a conference, you want to know who you're coming to, right? We also didn't announce where it was or anything to do with the day. Now, we've been running these for a couple of years, so we kind of knew we had a community. In other words, when we announced the next date, we had 270,000 Facebook reach organically online. I kind of have a social media background. I kind of know how to push the buttons and make things happen. But equally, that was a cool traction to give us confidence moving forward. However, we were still panning ourselves. And then when we kind of pushed go on the ticket sales, remember, we're not telling anybody who the speakers are. We have no information coming out other than you have to trust this, guys. It's going to be an awesome experience. When we pushed go on the ticket sales, we had phone calls and texts from our partners and sponsors saying, dude, sort it out. It's fallen over, the website's down, stuff like that. It's already saying sold out. We sold out in 2 minutes flat. 200 tickets, gone. It was great. We actually had to get a quote from the CEO of Event Finder that says that this was legitimate, because there was a lot of people having to go at us on Facebook and Twitter saying, you just scalped us, dude. And we're like, no, seriously, this is just went out the door. But the beautiful thing was, is that what people don't realize is even the speakers we had to trust. We had to be very vulnerable in ourselves to do this, because all our 30 volunteers, we only told the day before. The speakers didn't know where it was until the dress rehearsal the day before. We had to ask our speakers not to tell anybody, and for three of them, that means not telling their spouse. So they turned up attending a TEDx Wellington. Next thing you know, their spouse is going, where are you off? Oh, you're up. Interesting. We trusted them. There's a big trust piece when it comes to vulnerability, when you put yourself out there to be creative, or do creative acts. So it's not a bad thing, because usually people catch you and they come along for the ride as well. The third kind of story has gone out of my brain. This is vulnerable. I'll be with you in a minute. Oh, that's the challenge of doing this naked, right? No slides to show you. It's all good. I'll make something up. No. The third piece I want to kind of share with you is around what I've now started doing, which is speaker coaching. And this is really odd for me, because I really enjoy this. I'm a bit of a performer. I used to play in bands, so I don't mind people looking at me, but I used to sit behind, I was a skin basher, which is a drummer. And I used to sit behind things, and I used to see my mates having a great time up front, getting all the girls, right? Because they were singers and the guitarists. And I was always at the back in the shadows, hitting things, sweating like a madman. And then suddenly I was out front. And I was like, this is different, this is fun. But now I've been doing speaker coaching for the last 4 years with TEDx Wellington. We put our speakers through a 5-week coaching course before they get on a stage. And we fail them constantly. And we have to remind ourselves is we're not doing a good job for you. And I want to illustrate that through a point. This year we had a lady who was sharing something very personal, as a lot of TEDxers do. And we were kind of trying to understand why she weren't giving it all in the rehearsals. And she was just so uncomfortable, it looked like. And we tried to do a confidence thing, try to do meditation with her. And we couldn't get it. In other words, we were failing her. And we were like really struggling until we really sat down and started to understand, where is she the most happiest in her life? And where is she most authentic in what she does? And usually it's when she sits down and talks to someone, because she's a funeral director. And she has the hardest job in the world, which is dealing with people who are going through mass grievance, okay? They're going through something that you and I hope won't feel, and we're going to, right? But she's dealing with them there, and she always separates herself, moves the tables out, and sits down opposite. She gets closed. And that is a highly vulnerable thing, because you're not going through something that they're going through. You want to be compassionate, empathetic. So what we had to do with her is go, huh, that's interesting. Why don't you sit down on stage? Not literally on the stage, we got her a chair. We got her to sit down, and she blossomed. It was unbelievable. And we have to tell ourselves that we are constantly not good at this. We are constantly trying to find the better questions to find the answers. I'm a big fan of asking better questions rather than finding the better answers, right? Hungry for it. So when you're working with people, when you want that creative act, it's always that better question you're hungry for, not the answer. It's the better question that leads you to the answer. And I'm guaranteed there's going to be more questions once you hit it. And like I say, I'm just trying to be very vulnerable with you at the moment. I hope you're feeling that. And I've had a great time, by the way, and some of the speakers who have been up here have been exactly in the same place I have, looking at your wonderful faces and being vulnerable. So give them a hug on your way out as currency. So dear Honvar, my friend DK, so thank you very much for your time. Cheers.